Okay. Wednesday evening, 6/29/22. The title of this is Prayer Call, and we're going to look at intercession tonight. Okay. What is intercession? Well, let's look to Romans 8. Starting with verse 26 there. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Right there, that word, intercession, to intercede in behalf of. All right, 27. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Right there is a different, the first one was 5241 in the Strong's. This is 1793. It means to confer with or to entreat. So two different meanings. So the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Jesus also, let me just look at that. I believe this is Hebrews. Didn't put this one down, but it just came to me. Hebrews 12. Is that where it is? Guess we'll see. Well, maybe it's not. Do you know, Danny, where that is, where it talks about he is our high priest and intercessor? Mm-hmm. Where is that?
A couple of them.
Well, there's Hebrews 5.
Chapter 3, verse 1, and then 4, 14.
Well, let me do 3:1, you said. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the high apostle and high priest of our profession. Okay, that's not really, I'm wanting the part where he makes intercession.
Yeah, well, Romans 8:34 says he does.
Okay, well, that's what I need. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Okay, I don't know which one of the Strong's that is, but that's the one I was looking for. Okay, let's go to Romans 11:2. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Want ye not what the Scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, all right, then Hebrews
7:45.
Yeah, I've got that one down. Hebrews 7:45. It's not 45, it's 25, right? Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people. For this he did once when he offered up himself. All right. So Jesus is our high priest. He makes intercession for us. You could say through salvation he did. Absolutely, totally. All right, what are intercessors? Okay, we're going to look at 1 Timothy 2 first. Verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Okay. Right here, this word means an interview or supplication. That's why he says to pray for our leaders, those in authority, those that rule in the highest places, make supplication for them. Okay, now let's go over to the Old Testament a minute. This is Isaiah 59:16. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. Right here in the Strong's, to impinge by accident, violence, or importunity, come betwixt, cause to entreat, fall upon, make intercession, meet together, and pray. The ones who do this are called intercessors. So some go and some stay with the stuff. Turn over to 1 Samuel 25. That's what the Lord said to me, and it kind of, I'm going, well, Lord, I know what you're talking about there, but anyway, he wants to make a point with that. Some go and some stay with the stuff. 1 Samuel 25:13. And David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. Okay, now go to 1 Samuel 30. The ones that stay with the stuff usually tend to stuff, right? That's how I took it. All right, 30:21. And David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial of those that went with David and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Then said David, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. And when David came, that's all I wanted to read about that. This is what intercessors do. They take care of stuff, the Lord's stuff. Now this is set by C. Peter Wagner. I have just a little bit to share here from one of his books. He talks about a personal or a profile of personal intercessors. And this is what he says. I have come to the conclusion that they are the elite in the kingdom of God. They are the Navy SEALs, the Phi Beta Kappas, the Olympic teams of God's community. That's what he said, the intercessors. They do the heavy lifting behind the scenes, and most people never know anything about it. In other words, they're the ones, though the other may go off to do all these big things and are seen, but the intercessors are behind the scenes, and they play a very important role. Those that have the gift of intercession, I'll give you a few points here, they ordinarily pray 2 to 5 hours a day. That's normal for them. I know when I was first reading this book, I forgot to write down which one this was. But anyway, he was talking about most pastors pray 20 minutes a day. Yeah. Very little. Church leaders pray very little. With the gift of intercession also comes the gift of prophecy sometimes. They love to pray. Intercessors love to pray. They usually see more tangible results for their intercession than the average believer does. And you can see that. People act like, to me, to get revelation and know things and all that, it's just normal. It's normal for me. But other people, they ain't got a clue. They don't ever hear from God. They never get nothing. All right. Here's an example. Relatively few believers would feel that their life goals are being fulfilled by spending 10 hours a day, 365 days per year in prayer. Many cannot understand this lifestyle, especially their families. They're brought closer to God and fulfill their potential in God by what they do. A lot of times it could be seen as, you haven't done anything, have you? See, everybody thinks it's the big being seen part that's the big thing that's acknowledged. But God sees behind the scenes those who don't say anything and they're quiet and they intercede. All right? They are usually quiet people and spend many hours alone. It's a lonely life. It really is. They protect confidentiality. They're not a blabbit type of person. They pray for leaders. We just saw in 1 Timothy. All right, that's all of C. Peter Wagner. Now you know why God asked this question. This is Ezekiel 22:30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. But Ezekiel stepped up and said, here I am, Lord, send me. Said, I think he's the one that said, I'm a man of unclean lips. Maybe that was Isaiah. I don't remember. Isaiah, yeah. Intercessory ministry is not for everyone. It is obvious. It is obvious. It's not for everyone. Because, like I said, it's not something that you get much recognition. I remember years ago when we were going to Mid-Cities out there, this lady that I didn't even know, she came up to me and she said, you're an intercessor, aren't you? I said, yes. And I can't remember. I guess they had a group of ladies that's what they did, is they interceded. But you can recognize each other probably because they're the ones that's quiet while everybody else is blabbing and whatever, being silly and all of these kind of things. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just a lot of times they carry God's secrets. All right. I want to look at the book of Esther tonight because Esther was not born to sit on a throne and be a queen and have all the finest of everything. She was born to intercede for her people. And she did. This is Esther chapter 4. We're going to start with 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, "Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish." Well, we know the story. We know that the king received her. He put out the royal scepter. And so it was discovered, the wicked plot of Mordecai. And eventually it led to the deliverance of the Jews. Kept them from being slaughtered. All right. She was groomed as a future queen, to stand in that place, to be able at this time to walk to the king and do her deal. Maybe just that. All that for just that. But that was a big thing. It was a huge thing. All right, now I want to go to 1 Samuel 16. This is concerning Samuel the prophet. You know, his mother, she was barren, and she was in the place where they worshiped the temple, and she was crying out to the Lord for a son. And so she made a deal with God that if he would give her a son, that he would serve God in the house of God all his life. So as soon as he was weaned, she took him, and he was trained under Eli, the priest. And so he was in the house of God his whole life. That's what he did. Right here. And he was intertwined, see, in the government. And the Lord said unto Samuel, "How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." See, he had a friendship, a soul tie, if you will, with Saul. He anointed Saul as king, but Saul went rogue. So God said, "Move on from this assignment. I have another assignment for you." So God will move you on as intercessors from time to time from someone, maybe. If it's like in C. Peter Wagner's case, he had 20, 30 intercessors. And it'd be sometimes that he would move an intercessor on, and he'd pick somebody else to carry that. All right. So Samuel was released from Saul, and God moved him on to David. In Acts, Peter found himself in jail and probably was going to be executed, more than likely. And guess what happened? Intercessors got together and prayed him out of the situation. We're going to look at that one, Acts 12. They stood in the gap. Now, Peter wasn't up praying. He is asleep. We'll read that. This is 12, verse 1. "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, He proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise, up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came into the iron gate that leads unto the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel, hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. When she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold his peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. So that's what they were praying. They were praying for his deliverance, but I'm sure they were praying in the Spirit. Maybe they didn't know exactly what they were saying, but they were praying in the Spirit. In fact, they couldn't have known what they were saying in the Spirit because they didn't even believe that. Well, it can't be Peter. I'm thinking, dear God, don't be praying for me, okay? Unless you pray in the Spirit. Because the Spirit prays the perfect will of God. People can pray, and they pray squirrely. They pray all kinds of stupid prayers, and I won't even go into it. But the Spirit won't. He prays the perfect will of God. All right, intercessors are special ops. Intercession is spiritual warfare. We're going to see that here. We're going to turn to Ephesians 6. Verse 10. Now this is the whole armor of God. Verse 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. A warfare is intercession. It can be. You can be doing warfare. Part of the armor of God. All right, To be effective intercessors, we must pray from a seat of authority. That seat is in Christ Jesus. All right, Colossians 3. Verse 1. You know, I think a lot of, well, no, I won't say a lot, I'll just say some people pray from an earthly view. They're looking at the problem, and the problem is the motivator. But when we pray with authority, power's the motivator. All right? If ye then be risen with Christ, verse 1, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. In other words, you're heavenly. You need to be heavenly minded when you begin to intercede. From a position of authority, that you are already a winner. Just you're seated with Christ in heavenly places. You can't get any higher than that. Instead of you're under the circumstances. All right, Ephesians 2. Verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's why people don't get answers to prayer here. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we are seated with him in heavenly places when we do our warfare, when we do our intercession. We're not under the barrel. See, we have to keep our minds right on these things that are good. Philippians talks about heavenly things, not earthly things. All right? It would help to quote these scriptures before you go to prayer so you have the right mindset for the endeavor ahead. Don't ever start out on a negative. That's probably why it'd be good maybe to praise. Get your thinking on things above and not on things on the earth. Okay? Colossians 1:19. Or 1:9, sorry. 1:9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, and all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us to the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. So we are to have this mindset. Offense, not defense. Remember a few weeks ago? Offense, not defense. We don't have to defend anything. We've already been defended by Jesus. Now we're on the offense. We're in it to win it. We're in to take ground. We're in to take the devil out. And that means we're empowered to do so. Our mindsets. That's part of the armor of God. The helmet of salvation. The shield of faith. Okay. All right, Colossians 2, 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and feigned deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. See, when we know these things and we can have the right mindset, here are the three prayers that I believe that we should pray. The first one we already looked at in 1 Timothy 2, pray for our leaders, and all those are in authority. But I want to look at it again just for a second, because the Lord quickened us something to me today about it. All right. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men. What the Holy Spirit said to me today was, these are your petitions and your proclamations also. Not just prayers, but what you're speaking. You know, we're speaking in God's order. We're speaking in church order. God's church order and government order. And that's part of what he's been leading us to do for a long time now. We're just gaining more understanding of what we're doing. We're having a greater understanding of what we're doing. Okay? We're doing that already with our confessions. Keep doing it. In the last few days, we've seen some of them fulfilled already. And it's like every day there's something else coming up. So it's working. So we need to keep doing it. One of our petition includes the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, you will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. You know, deliver us from evil. See this prayer right there. All right, the last one is Psalms 122. Or the last prayer. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. That picture there behind Jackie right there is that picture of the heavenly Jerusalem and natural Jerusalem. That's what this scripture is talking about. It's compact together. See, what is this? God's kingdom. What is this? What is God's kingdom? It's heaven joining earth. His kingdom come, his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. All right? Where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek thy good. All right, who is Jerusalem? Well, we know the New Jerusalem. This is Romans chapter 2. Verse 28 says, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So what did Jesus do? He came to bring these two together. And after that, I didn't write this scripture down, but it talks about there is no Jew or Greek, slave nor free, male or female in the body of Christ. God sees us as all his family. Born again. It's not just a Jew thing. That's a natural Jew thing, and that's been sabotaged anyway. We know that. I saw someone showing the symbols on, I don't know if it was the Ukraine crest or what it was, but it's Khazar, you know, we've heard that. It is Khazaria, the Khazarian mafia, which are the deep state, deep state. They're the ones that took away all the Jews' position and everything, and now they're the ones that farmed Jerusalem, the Rothschilds. See? So, who knows who the real Jews are? Well, God does, because he's going to seal them in their forehead and he's going to call them from the four corners of the earth. There's the true Jew. Some of them are natural Jews, but with the new birth, that's what makes you a Jew now. It's part of it. We join together, natural and spiritual. That's God's way. All right? Lastly, like Billy Graham's ministry, help the prayers. This is Exodus 17. Because the Lord quickened her to me, that's what they do. They help the prayers. The Lord told us to pray that he would raise up an army of intercessors to pray in his order. Or Danny had that word, his order and his government. All right, this is Exodus 17. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river. Take it in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Then came Amalek and fought Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go fight with Amalek tomorrow, and I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. So what happened? Moses couldn't do it all. In fact, his father-in-law told him, what you're doing, you're going to wear yourself out. You're not going to be good for anybody or anything if you don't have some help. So designate. Pass down authorities. Put groups of men. You know, put a man over a group. That way you don't stand there all day having to do everything. You just can't do it. It will completely wear you out. So that's what the Lord said to me. We need to pray for the intercessors. Lord, that your intercessors, just like we were talking about, that they will have your mind and they won't go rogue and go their own way and do their own thing, but they will pray in your plan. So, the Lord said, pray in. So, isn't that helping the prayers? We're supposed to pray in intercessors. So, we hold up those arms. I said, Lord, I hold up Billy Brim and her team. They got a big reach. So, think about them. Think about them and pray for their team. Okay? So, y'all know what intercessors do and what they're all about? Okay. Right.